This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Robbie Feinberg. Local breweries like Bell's and Arcadia Brewing have put Kalamazoo on the national craft beer radar. But the city's been producing beer since the early 1800s. Keith Howard is the web coordinator with the Kalamazoo Public Library. Tomorrow night, he's giving a talk at the Washington Square Branch Library on the history of those breweries and how we ended up where we are today. Keith, welcome to West Southwest.
Thank you very much, Robbie.
So let's start with what sparked your interest in learning about Kalamazoo's beer history. Did you just kind of look at the growing scene around the city and start to wonder what was happening in the past?
Yeah, kind of. I was actually working on a different project, a local history sort of thing. And the idea of beer came into it. This was, you know, 100 years ago or so. And I was just fact checking myself, actually, and wanted to make sure I got it right. As I dug into it, it just became more and more interesting and kind of developed a compelling story. So that's really where it came from. It just kind of grew organically there. So
I'm curious, when you started, what did you expect to find? Did you expect to see a couple breweries? Was there much?
Right. I expected to see, truthfully, I expected to see one or perhaps two, but really one that maybe changed hands a few times and came and went away and didn't really amount to a whole lot. That's what I expected. What I found was really a whole brewery culture that developed largely from our immigrant population that settled. Initially, the English, so a lot of the early brewers were of English origin, so we can draw for what they probably put together and what the product they were probably producing. Later, by the mid-1800s, say around 1850 or so, we see the German population growing in Kalamazoo. And with it came a whole different culture, a whole different style of brewing, which ultimately became pretty much the quote-unquote American style of brewing, the lagers and such. So pretty much replaced the English ales for a while. But it was so interesting. It was like, again, what I thought was going to be one or maybe two ended up being six concurrently at one point in time. And over the course of time, close to a dozen. It was really, really interesting.
Could you get a sense of what brewing was like back then? It seems today, you know, we've got stores that, you know, you can buy ingredients and you can buy everything you need to start brewing. I imagine it was a lot different back in the early 1800s.
It was certainly functionally different, but a lot of it was the same, and that's what amazes me. A lot of it was essentially home brewing. There was one article I found that it was essentially the housewife's job in addition to everything else that she had to do to keep the brew going. And so all of the components were available. We had barley, and so there were malt makers. We had hops, but some of the early brews didn't really make a lot of use of hops. So, but those were around, but essentially sugar and water and yeast and that was how a lot of it started, and a lot of it was just homegrown stuff.
Can you tell what the beer actually tasted like at that point, or is that tough to say?
It's hard to say. You know, it's certainly the earlier ones were English ales, so pretty much a typical English ale that you would get today. I mean, they're using recipes, especially the imported ales, they're using recipes that are hundreds of years old, so those would have been fairly similar. Again, we see around the mid-century there, around 1850, when the German immigrants began arriving in Kalamazoo, we see a shift in styles, and all of a sudden we see the word lager begins to appear much more. And that is in itself, as I explained, a different process. And it brews and results in a different style of beer that was particularly popular among that population. So that's kind of where that all grew out of.
It sounds like from reading through a few of your pieces, it started off kind of similarly to how our current beer scene started, as kind of a home brewing operation.
It is interesting because I really tried to nail down who was doing what. I really wanted to find out who the first brewer was or where the first brewery was. And really all we know is that it existed. There was an 1837 article in the newspaper that showed and talked about what Kalamazoo was doing and how Kalamazoo had developed within a few short years from just a bunch of log huts or a couple of log huts into really a pretty much a frontier community. We don't know where it was exactly, but really that was here for at least a couple of years. By the early 1840s, then we see really the first big brewery developed. And that was actually right here on Western's campus, right about where Waldo Stadium is. A gentleman named John Hall developed a brewery there, and that actually grew into quite an operation. He was an Englishman, and ran that for a few years. Eventually, Benjamin Hall and Jason Russell took over, a couple of other Englishmen, and developed quite an active brewery there for a while.
How did they then expand? Obviously, things seem to grow a lot.
We see it happen around the time of the Civil War. It began initially, kind of beforehand, and especially by the end of the Civil War. We went from two local breweries to six within the community itself, and seven if you count the immediately outlying areas. So, again, it was the expansion of the immigrant population. Of course, the railroad came through in the 1840s, so we start to see the population grow and that kind of thing. And really, it was a cultural thing, and each little community was fairly tightly knit. So we see, we think of neighborhoods and stuff being more like a New York thing or a full scale thing. Here we had neighborhoods like the South Side or the East Side, and the East Side was like the where the Kalamazoo River comes through, and the South Side would be where Bronson Hospital is now, and the West Side was where Western is now. So it was really, we were a tiny community, but these were tightly knit neighborhoods, and they had their own culture, their own people, and brewing was a big piece of that.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me is a lot of early states were still very conservative when it came to alcohol, even in the early 1800s. So how did the city and its breweries balance that movement with these growing breweries?
It was interesting. The temperance movement was aimed at reducing or eliminating hard alcohol, hard liquor, and all the associated problems with it. And beer, on the other hand, was seen by many and kind of promoted as a healthy alternative. So instead of whiskey or rum or, the really hard drink, here's beer. I mean, it was actually promoted as liquid bread. This stuff is healthy for you. Drink, they gave it to their kids, let's be strong and drink healthy stuff. So I think one of the biggest factors that really changed things was the competition that came along from the big breweries. If you ran, say, Robbie's Bar and Tavern downtown and hooked up with XYZ Brewery in Milwaukee or whatever, they would provide furniture for you and glassware and just give you everything that you needed to run your bar as long as you served their beer. And we see that every tavern that was set up had a different sort of association like that. So one featured Muskegon beer and one featured, Pabst or what started out as Best Brewery. We see that some featured Miller and Budweiser and all of that. And they were all different, largely because of the influence of these big breweries. And those slowly but surely edged these little local guys out, which is sad, but that's, we see that happening today with a lot of things.
Yeah. You talk about how the local breweries build themselves as like this clean, healthy drink. What was kind of their advertising like? What would they say about these larger breweries?
Oh, that became really interesting later on, especially after the turn of the 20th century, after around 1906, 1909 or so. It was almost out of fear and intimidation. So they would plant the idea, and there was certainly an element of truth to it, but they would plant the idea that you didn't know what was in this beer that came out of Detroit or Milwaukee or Cleveland or wherever. You didn't know what was in it. There could be poison in it. There could be all sorts of things in there. On the other side, where our hometown brew is made by people and you know what's in it. The brewery on Lake Street, which actually ended up being the biggest and latest in this chain of things, even offered to let you come in anytime. You can come in, inspect our products, see what we're putting in it. They just really wanted to open their doors and emphasize that local stuff was, you could trust local stuff, but who knows what that other, what's in that other stuff. Because there weren't regulations like there are now. And, in some cases there were adverse things, but I think a lot of it was just scare tactics, why take a chance with something you don't know when you can trust something you know?
Did the techniques work at all? Did it keep the breweries in business?
It's hard to tell. Certainly the one brewery, the one on Lake Street, which became Kalamazoo Union, the City Union Brewery, and then ultimately Kalamazoo Brewing Company, that lasted the longest. And certainly it worked for them. At least they operated right up until the day they had to close their doors because of Prohibition. The others obviously didn't. The smaller ones just couldn't keep up. There was a certain amount of generational thing. A lot of these brewers had been doing so for 20 or 30 years, and their operations didn't pass on to another generation. They just closed up.
Obviously, there's this big brewing tradition that lasted in Kalamazoo for years. Prohibition happened. It ended in 1933, but then it seems the brewing tradition didn't start up again until even the 1970s, 80s at the earliest. Why do you think it took so long?
The traditions set about by Prohibition or all that, a lot of that stuck. So you couldn't buy a glass of alcohol in alcohol by the glass in Kalamazoo until the 1960s. So there were a lot of elements of that. And the biggest deal is by then, after Prohibition and when all the national things, beer became very nationalized. You know, what we would have associated, say, 20 or 30 years ago as American beer, quote unquote, was really just this light lager, and it was pretty homogenous. It was pretty much the same, whatever, you know, you could argue that brand X was different than brand Y, but really there wasn't a lot of variation there. So the national concerns, there was by about 1980 or so, 93% of the American beer market was controlled by just 10 breweries. So this sort of beer culture thing hadn't started, but a lot of that did start here, and the breweries that developed out of Kalamazoo were really, a lot of that was very fundamental in how this thing began and how this whole sort of nationwide now craft beer culture has come about. It's kind of interesting.
I'm curious, do you see any parallels between the last 40 years in Kalamazoo in our beer culture and the growth back in the 1830s, 40s, 50s?
Certainly. And you see it in a lot of things. You see it in music. You see it in culture now, where we've kind of come full circle, where it used to be everybody bought the same thing, and then now we don't all buy the same thing. We want something a little different than what has. So where 40 or 50 years ago, if you and I didn't drink the same brand or didn't listen to something or didn't read this certain type of literature or whatever the case was, you know, we just wouldn't get along. And now it's come full circle. It's almost the opposite, that what, you know, you bring to the table and what I bring to the table, no matter what we're doing in terms of brewing here, we bring different things and we like to compare and share that now. Yeah, even just a few decades ago, that just plain wasn't done.
Having studied all of this and gone and probably continuing to research this, what's surprised you the most through all of your research?
How active it was then, and how, I guess above everything, how important culturally this was then. I mean, we talk about the current beer culture and what that's doing and spurring farming and hops farms in Michigan now. That's a big deal, you know, and all of these sort of side little projects. We have a gentleman coming that's doing a program at the library, Fred Bieltman. He calls himself the beer evangelist and has really written about this whole cultural part of it. So it's not just a liquid. It's not just functional. It's a whole cultural thing. And what's going on now very much mirrors what went on then in terms of that whole culture. We like to look at our heritage and see what our ancestors or our ancestors' friends and family and stuff did.
Keith Howard, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Remy.
Keith Howard is the web coordinator for the Kalamazoo Public Library. Tomorrow night at 6 p.m., he's talking about the history of Kalamazoo's breweries at the Washington Square Branch Library. You can hear our full interview and get links to Keith's research on our website, wmuk.org. This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Robbie Feinberg.